Radio Bastard, serving the town of Little Bastard on the Prowl and surrounding countryside. Brought to you today by Marcus Hefferson and Sons, manufacturers of fine goose fat and castanets. And now it's time for Painting with Arthur, with your host, Arthur Wizabeth.
If you think that you are talentless, you ain't. Even Pollock and Picasso both learned to paint with Arthur.
Good morning, my dear listeners. It's time to pick up where we left off yesterday and continue with our beautiful English countryside landscape. Now, as you can see, we were just about to start work on the hedgerows surrounding the quaint little Saxon church in the background. Now, don't be fooled into thinking that you can just get away with a multitude of greens. If you look closely, you'll see a whole rainbow of colour in a hedgerow. So would it surprise you if I first dip my brush into the yellow paint? No, of course it wouldn't, because as you can see, I'm picking out the subtle highlights of each individual leaf. Now, of course, you may be wondering...
Is this a new feature? Painting with Arthur?
Be quiet! I don't want to miss what he's saying. The man is a genius.
Sorry, I just thought it was a bit of an odd concept. I mean, painting on the radio.
I don't follow.
Well, it's just that painting is a very visual thing. Not only the finished result, it's also the process.
But Mr. Wizabeth speaks as he paints. He describes what he's doing. He becomes your eyes. And you can see what he's doing anyway.
Yes, I can see what he's doing because I'm watching him in the recording booth. But anyone listening at home can't see him.
I'm not with you.
Look, you and I are standing, what, 20 feet from Arthur as he's painting? We're watching what he's doing as he does it. We can see him. Even if we were deaf, we could still see him. But the listeners can't see him.
But why would you be listening to the radio if you were deaf?
You wouldn't be able to listen to the radio if you were deaf.
Exactly. That's why we can see him.
Unless we were blind.
Yes, and that, ladies, is at the crux of the whole philosophical debate. If a tree falls in the forest, who will actually hear it fall? One single hand clapping in the darkness. But, of course, it's not dark when you're actually dealing with Radio B. So we'll mention that in another little clip on what's probably fast becoming the associated links on both Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM's Midweek Drive to support said production, which is available for download now in lots of biteable chunks and lovely episodes on the Wednesday of the week. Online now, tis the creator of aforementioned Radio B. Yes, it's Alan Stevens. How are you, Alan?
Hi.
Now, one of the things about that particular episode is if people want to really listen to Arthur the Painter and find out what he really is getting into, you can actually have an extra special download which kind of talks you through the whole thing itself. But there is a little bit of industrial language creeps in there. No, sorry. It's there are certain things in the world of radio, as I'm sure you're aware from your experience on which you based Radio B, that you would not actually play unless... Well, no, you wouldn't actually. You would just say, look, that's what the web is for. You can download it and appreciate that. But suffice it to say, the painter gets in one or two slightly traumatic times with respect to dropping paint and blue paint and all over the things.
It also sort of goes into broad Northern Irish, isn't it?
Well, this was the point. Now, in terms of that initial singing part, was that the voice of Paul Darrow?
Say, who?
Was that the voice of Paul Darrow?
Everyone's the voice of Paul Darrow. All you ever hear is Paul Darrow. You're obsessed with Paul Darrow.
Clearly.
So, Arthur was played by Robert Berenger Locke, Alistair Locke's brother.
Ah, well, yeah. There we have it, you see. Alistair, of course, who made a welcome return after a gap of several years to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition this very week, and you can download that particular episode even now. I thought I'd put him in a head-to-head with William Sitwell. So you have William Sitwell to start off with, and then Alistair Locke, who wraps up the whole sequence. Yeah. In fact, even before that, you have Ed Wellman doing a fine interview with the Chaods theory, not Chaos, but Chaods, who are performing Singing in the Rain at Lincoln Theatre Royal. It's all very good. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought you were very coy with episode 6. I think you can probably play the first... Play a little bit of the beginning, because Alistair Locke, of course, you know, you can hear his brilliant acting then.
Well, you see, you say that, and if we were in a different studio, and if I was on a different computer machine, then I could obviously do that. But no, you know, I'm sorry, it's, you know, I have no intention of suddenly getting into an automobile and driving, or indeed a helicopter, and moving 127 6 miles south to do that. No, no, no. So, you know, maybe another time, Alan. Or maybe people can actually go and buy it themselves, you know? It's only a matter of 72 English pence.
Well, buy it again and put it on now.
Well, no.
Planning this.
Well, it's all there. So how is it taking shape in terms of, are you getting, is there a fan cult audience gradually building up for Radio B? I mean, can we look forward to sequels? I mean, Alistair certainly seems to be very keen, having read the original report, which of course I can endorse, was startling in its authenticity. What sort of things look ahead for this little radio station that has already encompassed death, disaster, and indeed sweary artists?
Well, it's interesting. A friend of mine called Stephen Allen, who's the reverse of my name, over there for many years, was talking to someone who'd heard Radio Bastard and had worked for the BBC and for local radio, and she said that this experience was common to many of the places that she'd worked in. There had often been there had been a kind of bullying taking place, mm-hmm. and various people who'd been there for a while who were regarded as stars, and everyone, you know, basically bowed and scraped them, and
yes.
they would behave in a most appalling fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time this guy, I won't go into the details of it or say who he was, but they both reached the microphone, and this chap, who was a bit of a prima donna, had a touch fetish, and she accidentally brushed his hand, and he went berserk. And when she complained to BBC, they were completely uninterested, until she complained again 2 weeks later after the Savile thing broke, and they were falling over themselves.
Now there's a surprise. Yes. On a serious note, I mean, obviously you mentioned the tragic cases of obviously Savile, Stuart Hall, a whole heap of folk with respect to Operation U-Tree, and that's on a very serious note. Comedy is the other side of tragedy. It's the other side of, it's another form of drama that we work through. And I'm looking at a magazine now, actually, which is about the radio industry. It's the radio industry that refers to HBA, the Hospital Broadcasting Association, and likewise, there are sort of times where you just think, oh my lord, you know, it's like awards ceremonies. Dare I ask, do you actually, have you considered introducing Radio B into one of those wonderful Sony award-winning services?
Well, perhaps I should. I mean, usually it's, from my mind anyway, usually if anyone says, you know, award-winning writer, blah, 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 I usually think, they probably aren't very good, because you don't normally write, say, award-winning writer unless you're trying to prove something. I mean, I know a lot of people who have won awards, but I've never won an award, mainly because I've
Not
good enough, you see?
Yet, of course.
Not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, yes, perhaps I should. I don't know anything about it. How would I go about that? I'll let you sort of...
I can reveal that your good self and Fiona Moore feature on the front cover of the 2014 Southside Broadcasting Midweek Drive Adventures in Radio calendar for next year.
Really?
So, yes, you are there. It is there. It was revealed on the show on Wednesday. If you want to listen to the last part of the show on Wednesday, this week, of course, that's November the 6th, then you can actually listen to the official reveal, and you share the glory of that calendar status with the likes of the wonderful Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Reinhardt Holtz from Native Voices in America, Ilana Rain, who is actually in March, doing a joint package in March with Charlotte Fortune. So, you know, all sorts of fun things there, from sci-fi London to a whole range of things.
Oh, yes. So do I get a free calendar then?
Well, we'll look into it. It may well be winging its way down. Whether it gets to you in time for January, I don't know. But
hang on a second. Yes. So the calendar... Is this an advent calendar?
No, this is a 2014 annual. Okay. January,
yeah,
February,
right, yeah.
March,
2014
April.
Calendar.
Exactly.
So yes. You have a 2013.
It's
all right. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, that's all right then. What exactly are you doing now that Radio B is currently being released to the world?
Well, at the moment, I'm writing up a Mervyn Heisman interview, and there's a very interesting piece here which I'd like to read to you because I think it's absolutely true. And I'm going to read it to you now. It's very short. Okay, is that right? Yeah?
Of course it is, Alan.
I said to Mervyn, who, of course, Mervyn Heisman, who co-wrote and co-created the Yeti, the recently discovered Doctor Who story, The Web of Fear, and also, apparently, also discovered abominable snowmen, or as rumoured, anyway. Anyway, I said to him, we'll start with the obvious question, what made you decide to become a writer? And he says, that seems an obvious and easy question to answer, but it isn't. I started off as an actor, and I thought of going back to it as a regular thing, but then decided against it. At the time, I was in the life insurance world, and one of my clients was a very famous writer called John Whiting. One day, I went down to see him in Sussex, where he had this beautiful house, and I said, how do you find writing as a career? And he said, well, Monday, I wander around the place and chop wood. And Tuesday, I potter about and chop a bit more wood. Wednesday and Thursday, I write. Friday, I sometimes go out to town and see my agent, and then it's a weekend. And I thought, all this for 2 days of work, marvellous. I'm going to become a writer. And it took me 10 years to find out what all of this, chopping wood, what always chopping wood was about. This was his thinking time. But by then it was too late. I was already a writer. And I think that's very true. So a lot of the time you aren't actually writing, you're thinking, what do I write? How does this work? What can I do? You know? Your thinking time. So whenever you ring me up and someone says to me, what are you doing today? Oh, you say, well, I'm repairing the door. I repaired the sink today. You know, that's my thinking time as well.
Hello? Fantastic. No, it's all right. Fortunately, timing was such there that not only could I actually deal with a couple of incoming calls, one on the mobile and one on the other line, I could lower my microphone down, thereby giving you the floor, because I know, being a consummate professional, Alan, you would actually come out of that link by saying, hello, where? Who was the line gone? What's happened? That's
well,
all right.
The fact is, they repeat to me what I said.
Yeah, and I thought that was wonderful. And I genuinely say that, and I look forward to actually listening back on the playback to the whole system there.
Yeah,
you see,
what I said.
There are stations who quite clearly, when you're talking about the creator of the Yeti and Mervyn Haseman going through his day-by-day life, they would say, focus on that. Don't be distracted like, you know, a doggy with a squirrel by simply turning around and saying, ooh, phone ringing, must answer the phone, find that sort of thing through, and therefore leave the listener in the hand. No, it's almost like an episode of Radio B in itself, really.
Well, I was going to say that. All of this is not new to me.
Exactly. It's all
sorts
of...
In fact, there's an episode later.
Yes, yeah.
Which I think, when it comes up, I'll get you to...
Can I give you... I'll give you some of the things that come out of the Hospital Radio Awards 2014, which, likewise, I mean, like yourself, Alan, we've never actually sort of been nominated for any of these things, so...
Did you put anything in?
No.
I know.
It's very true, exactly. I think we did one, anyway. Presenter of the Year, male/female. There's no sign of any transgendered appeal whatsoever here. You are required to submit a 5-minute entry showing the judges the diversity of your presentation and your awareness of the listeners. Include as many different on-air clips as possible, not all from the same programme. Multiple entries may be made from a station. The trophy will bear the name of the presenter.
Totally, this is a 97-minute production, not a 5-minute production.
Oh, I'm best speech package. The entry should be a maximum of 5 minutes taken from a single programme or interview that has been broadcast on the station. All music should be edited out of the entry. The material must have originated from station presenters and not from any other source. Only one entry per station allowed. The trophy will bear the name of the station, but the name of the programme or interview will be published on the short winners list and will appear on the certificate if submitted. Station promotion, Station of the Year, that's an interesting one there. It's a maximum 15-minute standalone documentary style, recording feature extracts from your station output. I just think we're ODing on awards ceremonies, personally, but there we are. That's by the by. That might have given you some thoughts, Alan. Are you there?
Oh, sorry, I was answering the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew you would handle that with your usual business.
Exactly. So. Synchronicity and balance. You know, you don't get that when you actually have other sort of visiting students or people in the thing, because they look at you as though you've lost your marbles completely, as opposed to riffing on the medium. Anyway, life continues. CaldorCity.com is the go-to website to find out more news about the aforementioned Radio B. And actually, one other question, because obviously Alistair Locke was a key part of the surgery. Is the surgery still available for download and purchase?
The surgery is available for free.
Oh, well.
Yes.
What can we say?
Alistair plays two characters in that. He plays Dr. Blake and Dr. Jamares. And he's very good. And in this new one, in Radio Bastard, he plays... who does he play now? He plays Jonathan Ball, and John McCrae. And recently I realised they're both called John, which is bizarre, isn't it?
It does happen. And as you know, having listened to the piece from Alistair Locke, he responded very positively to those last two interrogatives that is essential that we actually sort of throw at an individual. It's yet to be followed by any other radio station. That's probably because they don't care about customer satisfaction. You know, that's our particular line of that. Number one, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation before you go off and speak to the bank manager? Has it worked? Has it psyched you up for this?
Hello? Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Just getting my paperwork together.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure, it's fine.
Good. So I take it then we can connect with you again in the very near future?
Pinteresque pauses.
Yes.
They're good for radio. Terry Wogan used to do that, you know.
Well, precisely. That's or dog's feet, as Sean Connery used to refer to them.
Dog's feet. Why
pausies. Pausies.
Alright.
Yeah. Yeah, and the old ones are the better ones, as somebody would have said if they were talking about chronologically gifted people. Or maybe not, but life continues. We didn't really sort of finish that. I mean, obviously, we celebrate everybody who works within the medium of radio, but most importantly, the listener. That's my most important person. Without the listener, well, we might as well not be existing. That's the bottom line.
The listener.
Exactly.
Singular.
So, Alan Stevens will return together with a whole heap of other goodies and probably Fiona Moore as well one of these days.
Well, I was thinking about this. I think, you know, you've interviewed me, mate, four or five times like this, and you've interviewed Alistair Locke once, and I think, you know, hopefully you'll come back.
Patricia Merrick, Fiona Moore.
But I think, I was thinking that as you have, I think you've missed that episode, was it five? That one features quite heavily. Tracy Russell, so I thought perhaps I would speak to Tracy and ask her if she'd be interested in being interviewed.
I think Tracy Russell would be a supreme connection to actually link up on the midweek drive, possibly.
Okay,
this day?
Kind of,
shall we say Wednesday? Shall we say Wednesday, November the 13th, just before Prince Charles's birthday on the 14th? Shall we go for that?
Let me just write that down. It's funny, really, you should do this behind the scenes.
But as Phil Leonis in Los Angeles says with his Chilpok Hollywood Hour every week with Dean Hagland, it adds in something to the podcast if you actually have an on-air meeting for the listener to exactly.
What was the day again? Wednesday
the 13th of November.
Oh, 13th.
Probably around about 6:15 or thereabouts.
6:15.
Or 6:20-ish, yeah.
Between 6:15 and 6:20.
I would have thought that should be fine.
Of course, Tracy was been in all my production, I think.
Yes,
she was in
Caldor City.
Yeah, she was blazing Caldor City. She was, Nestis in Faction Paradox. She played a Muto, and my friend.
And you do realise saying how wonderful Alistair Locke and Tracy obviously are with respect to these things means they'll be asking for a salary increase on your next production.
They got a salary increase on the last
one. Very good.
So
that's all right.
After another 5 years now.
That's okay. Sorted. Everything works. Alan Stevens will return on Southside Broadcasting, Siren FM, and various other stations up and down the country. And don't forget Radio B, or Radio Bastard, available for download for a minimal fee from the CaldorCity.com website.
How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.